Hey, before we begin this episode, I just want to say, due to some technical difficulties, I wasn't able to use my regular microphone, so my audio is going to be a bit echoey, but the show must go on. So, 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to Super Saturdays, a comic book media podcast, and I got a new little camera, woo! But... Each episode, we'll be focusing on your favorite comic books, TV shows, and movies to figure out if these projects will stand the test of time. I'm your host, Damon A., and on today's episode, I am joined by...
Yoohoo Comic Review. What's up, everybody?
What's up? Without further ado, on with the show. Tell us about yourself. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, no. So I'm over on TikTok. I just do like comic reviews, talk about comics and things about comics I find interesting. You know, maybe a little bit of action figure stuff here and there, or I try to just keep it interesting. You know, I do a little bit of analysis. I really want to do more stuff talking about like political analysis in the realm of comic books. That's what I find really interesting, but it's hard to wrap your head around that all the time. It takes a lot of work to write those scripts, but I, as the name suggests, right, Yoohoo Comic Review, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, because I know, you know, they're trying to get rid of TikTok, so I gotta push those other platforms now too. But yeah, if you're just looking for comic book related reviews and or things like that, definitely check me out.
All right, well, it's really good to have you on the show, Yoohoo. You know, glad to give the little blurb about what it is that you do. We've been mutuals for a little bit, so I'm glad to have you on the show and everything. And, you know, what is your favorite comics? Like, what is your favorite stories that you've read?
Oh man, you're jumping into it. So I really, really like Jonathan Hickman. Like, off the top of my head, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm thinking, like, probably off the top favorite comics, House of X, Powers of X. I'm not even an X-Men guy like that. Like, I haven't read Claremont. That's way too much for me, right? Like, I haven't even read Joss Whedon's Astonishing. I only just read Morrison's New X-Men. I think Hoxpox was, like, the first X-Men comic I ever read. And if you know anything about Hoxpox, that's an insanely confusing comic book that, like, you probably should have a little bit of context about the X-Men going in, but I just kind of freeballed it, and it was so confusing to me. But, you know, Hickman's this type of author where he writes a story in a way that is purposefully confusing, but the more you read it, it kind of pays off in the end. And it has all of these different narrative threads that happen on these parallel, you know, dimensions. So you're reading one issue and you're like, wait, what? When did this happen? And then, you know, two issues later, they start explaining where that thread came from. And it's a really, really good binge that was one of the most rewarding experiences I had reading comics because, like I said, I haven't read a lot of X-Men. I was so confused. But by the end of it, I was so captivated with the idea of like X-Men and more specifically Krakoa because of how Hickman kind of plays around with like time and these parallel dimensions and most specifically like Krakoa as a nation state. I really love that concept. I know it just ended too, but like, dude, like X-Men having their own nation state is such a cool concept. Like, I don't know how you can come up with that and roll with that for so many years, especially considering what the status quo of X-Men was way before Hickman. But I know that's a long-winded answer, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Or like, you know, something simple like Batman The Long Halloween. That's the comic that got me back into comics, and that's just, you know, a classic, right?
Okay. You want to know something? This is going to be a little bit of some shit that the Supes are going to get my ass for, but I haven't finished Batman Long Halloween, surprisingly. Like, I haven't finished. Like you know, it's funny because, like, last Halloween, when I moved into my apartment, I live right next to the library. Like, when I say right next to the library, it is walking distance. So, like, I would, like, go there when we didn't have any Wi-Fi. And I was, like, get different shit, get movies, all other type of stuff. And so I got this big hardcover, terrible... You know, I'm not going to say terribly bound because I love libraries. And I support my libraries. But it was a well-loved book. That's what I'm going to say. And it was a hardcover. And I was reading it, but like life got me and I didn't finish it. Like I got halfway through. I did watch the long Halloween movies, but the story itself, I feel like there's like a lot of different stories and comic book stories that people know about, people talk about, people have a great idea of what's going on, but some of them may not have read it. And that's kind of how it is with me for Long Halloween. I know it's something that's amazing, but you know, I really need to take some time, really sit down and read that book. But stories that really like captivated me and got me into comics. It's funny you mentioned X-Men and also even Hickman. Hickman's Fantastic Four, like really, it did something. That story, I always like never really dropped comics, but there's been like, you know, slumps. But Hickman's Fantastic Four really got me really interested in like a lot of like how deep comics can be. And even Secret War, like Secret Wars, his like rendition of Secret Wars and stuff. I remember reading that in high school. So I remember reading that and just being just like taken aback over just how kind of ruthless Dr. Doom was. Like, was he right? Yeah. But it also was like, bitch, you didn't have to take Reed's wife and family.
Yeah. Did you read like Fantastic Four before you read Secret Wars, or did you just kind of read Secret Wars first, like before
everything? I read Secret Wars first because I got the, I only have volume one of Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four. I need to get volume two, but I got volume one of the Omni, and then I then started reading like volume two online. And that is like what I started reading after Secret Wars. I read Secret Wars first. And like I filled in the gaps from like watching some YouTube videos and stuff about it.
Yeah.
And then I like sat down and read it myself. Was it legally? You be the judge. I do not condone that. We don't condone that in this show. But hey, but those are like just, there's a lot of different stories that really captivated me in regards to getting into comics. And you know something, it's really funny that you mentioned Hickman. Because Hickman is going to be mentioned on our first part of like news roundup. So, Yoo-hoo, are you ready for some news roundup?
Let's go for it. Let's see what we got. Right.
All right. So, we have three pieces of information for news roundup. Number one, I know you're an Omni fan, Yoo-hoo. So, it was announced, I want to say this week or maybe it was today. I'm not sure when. That Hickman's Secret Wars is going to be re-released as an Omni. And it's not just going to be like, you know, Secret Wars and the extra shit. It's going to be his Avengers stuff, all of the things leading up to Secret Wars. It's supposed to be coming out in December of this year. So,
yeah.
Is that a book you're going to be seeing yourself getting?
That's something I'm really conflicted about because I look like a guy that, you know, kind of indulges, but I swear to God, like I really try not to double dip because it's really frustrates me when I have like multiple of something. Cause I'm like, I'm just wasting my money here, you know? And the mapping of Hickman's Omnibus is a lot of his Avengers stuff. And like the tie into that. And I have his Avengers Omnis and I have Secret Wars. So I'm like, do I buy it? I kind of want it because it would look good on the shelf. But then, like, you know, the realist in me is like, yo, Yoo-hoo, save your money. Don't go crazy. Don't be spending all this money on an omnibus when you already own all the content. Low-key, I feel like I would be more inclined to buy it if it didn't collect his Avengers, but instead it collected all the tie-ins. Because I know when Secret Wars was coming out, there was a lot of different tie-ins concerning Battle World, which I just haven't had the opportunity to read. So I feel like that'd be kind of cool if it had like the main Secret Wars story and then all of the Secret Wars tie-ins that aren't written by Hickman. Kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with the House of M omnibus, but it has like the main House of M event, which really isn't that long. And then the rest of it is all of the tie-ins. I would be more compelled to buy it if they did it that way, but as of right now, because it's his Avengers and then his Secret Wars, which I do have, I don't know if I'm going to get it. I do recommend people get it, though, if they haven't read it or if they don't own that content, because it is a really smart way to map that story. Because I do think Secret Wars doesn't make the most sense, especially if you haven't read his Avengers, because the way his Avengers ends leads straight into Secret Wars. And it is like this huge cosmic saga that he's kind of been building up to, even starting in his Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I was going to say that, because like I heard that like certain bits from Fantastic Four makes its way into like even into the Avengers, and it weaves and all sort of type of stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I don't know. I would say, I mean, you should get it if you're interested in it. Because I don't know, you said you don't have Avengers, you don't have Secret Wars. That'd be a really good way to read it, in my opinion. And people who don't have it should get it. But me personally, like, I'm trying to show some restraint this year. You know, I just moved. I gotta save some money here and there. I can't be buying every omnibus that gets announced. But we'll see. Maybe I'll change my mind over time.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat. I, you know what? I think I'm gonna get it. But like, I'm not gonna say that because Damon saved money. We have another piece of information. We have some DC news. Have you been like keeping up with the DC movie stuff?
Not really. I kind of am just waiting to see what happens. I saw that. I think the last thing I heard was I saw the picture of the Superman suit that James Gunn made, and then that's about it. I haven't really been I'll just watch the movies when they come out.
No, I get that. So Creature Commandos comes out in November. I'm excited for Superman. I'm excited for a lot of other stuff and everything. But Creature Commandos, I'm intrigued. I'm not really like itching to see it, but I'm intrigued, I guess, of the projects that you have heard about, which have you been interested in?
I feel like, honestly, this is such a silly, goofy, kind of smooth brain answer, but I'm really excited to see Batman. I know it's so far out too, but like, dude, come on. Like, I want to see Damian Wayne in live action. I want to see like an older Batman who has that kind of like mythic aspect about him, you know, especially because I know they're taking inspiration from the Morrison comics. I want to see that. Like, I want to see Batman as this figure that's kind of like larger than life, but still just a dude. We haven't really seen that in live action, because I feel like every interpretation of Batman has to be grounded with a pseudo sense of realism, maybe a little bit with Snyder, but we're not going to talk about that. Like, I want to see the fantastical element of Batman explored, and I want to see him interact with Damian Wayne, because I'm just a huge Batman fan, and that in live action sounds so sick to me.
You know, honestly, you hit the nail on the head for what I want to see with Batman. Like, I still believe that, like, the Robert Pattinson movie is the closest we've gotten to comic book Batman, but, like, I want to see him fight Clayface. I want to see some, like, cool, fantastical shit. I want to see Ra's al Ghul, but, like, real Ra's al Ghul. I want to see fucking globe-trotting Batman in the fucking Batwing and then doing some acrobatic shit. I want to see that. I really want to see that. Because, like, the only thing I would say that was close to doing that, and I hate to admit it, is possibly Batman and Robin, because that was fantastical, but a little too fantastical. But, you know, I'd say I'm excited for the Batman thing, but I'm also excited for Superman, Supergirl as well. I'm excited for that, especially because they announced that director, I want to say, a couple months ago. I don't know. But that's what I'm excited for. I'm really curious as to what James Gunn's going to do with Wonder Woman, because I know that he announced, well, at least like said that she's not casted yet, so confirming that it's going to be a big recast. I'm curious where it's going to go.
I feel. I was just wanted to say that, like, low-key, too, when it comes to James Gunn's whole cinematic universe, I feel like I'm more excited about the projects that James Gunn isn't going to direct. Like, I know this is like a crazy hot take, and I like James Gunn. I think he's a good director. You know, I like his movies and stuff, but I don't know, dude. Like, I feel like the Green Lantern TV show, like a cop buddy space drama, sounds way more compelling to me than like James Gunn doing Superman. And I know that's crazy. People are going to be mad at me for that one, but I like James Gunn. But like, you know, I went back and I rewatched Guardians, and I rewatched Peacemaker and Suicide Squad, and they're good movies. And this is, yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to be too much of a hater, but he got a little bit of that kind of Gen X millennial humor sometimes. And I'm like, yo, okay. I'm like, this is a little too much. Like on the first watch, I'm laughing. And then on the second watch, I'm like, yeah, no, this isn't as funny as I remember it being.
You know why?
Especially because I rewatched Suicide Squad with my girl and she really liked it. But then there's a couple jokes where she's kind of looking at me and I'm like, yo, I did gas this up a little too hard, didn't I? You know?
You know something? We had a couple episodes ago. My friend Yaz, she's like a frequent guest on the show. We have a couple different episodes. And we were talking about the Suicide Squad movie, James Gunn's Suicide Squad. And I like that movie. I like that movie a lot. However, I asked her a question. I was like, what was your thoughts on Starro? And she was like, at that moment, I couldn't take the movie seriously anymore. And I was like, what? She was like, it was a little too goofy. It was a little too James Gunn. And I was like, you know what? I love Starro, but I could understand. There are a little bit of too many. There's a little too many James Gunn-isms in his movies. Even though I like his movies. I think it just. I agree with you. I do agree with you. I agree with you on that. It can get a little too millennial and too Gen X. A little too Gen X. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it further. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to be a hater, man, because I do like it. I'm more excited for James Gunn to tap into that millennial Gen X energy and put it into Peacemaker season two. I don't need to see that with Superman. You know, I don't need to see Superman making a joke where he like burps, you know, and then everyone looks at him and I'm like, you know, like, I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm sure it's going to be great. And I might just be hating and I'm going to get a lot of people on me for saying this, but I don't know. There's so many other projects in the DCEU, like Green Lanterns, the Wonder Woman, kind of, they're doing the Amazon show. That sounds really sick. Like I said, Batman obviously is super exciting, but I don't know. I'm like, okay, like, hopefully it's good. You know, I'm not as excited as everyone else when it comes to Superman.
I can get that. I can get behind that. Okay, so we have a piece of information that's actually not really good news. It's actually very sad. Benny the Comic Historian passed away on June 8th. The Comic Historian was... he was a content creator that I've watched a lot when I was younger. A lot of his videos really got me into comics further. And also, I remember watching him on the Weekly Pull because I'm a huge fan of comic pop. And I'd even argue that Super Saturdays is kind of inspired by Comic Story and by comic pop and a lot of other stuff. And it's really sad. He passed away unexpectedly. Have you watched any of the Comic Story's videos, Yuhu?
Yeah, I feel like everyone has, right? Like, if you like comic books, there's always been that one point in time where you're like, yo, what is this comic? And you look it up and then you see his video up there and you kind of watch the summary. I saw a meme on TikTok of this guy and he was like sleeping and he falls asleep and it's like POV. You wake up at 3 a.m. and it's just like a 2-hour long Comic Story and Explain video, you know, playing in the background. I'm like, yo, that, you know, that must have happened to at least everyone who likes comic books, right? You put on a little Comic Story and video, you fall asleep to it and wake up and he's still explaining some crazy book. He's such a, yeah, he taught me so much. I loved watching his videos, especially when I was younger and I didn't have access to comics. It was a really cool way to learn more about the medium.
And he will be missed. My question for you is, you talked about being a Batman fan. So, what do you love about the Red Hood story? Because I remember we were like, you know, talking prior to the show, and you were talking about how you read the comic, but you didn't watch the movie yet. What did you like about this story?
So, this is an interesting question. I guess talking about the comic first, I went into the comic and I hadn't, like, everyone knows about the Red Hood. You know, if you know Batman, you know about the Red Hood. It's like, that's Jason Todd. He comes back from the dead, you know? And so I went into the Red Hood comic knowing everything that was going to happen. And I was kind of skeptical of it, what really surprised me about the Red Hood story was how much depth there was when it came to Batman's internalized kind of fears and narcissism and insecurity, especially revolving around Jason's death. I think I like comic books that explore the, I think Batman is a super mentally ill dude, right? That's totally off his freaking rocker, right? And I like comic books that tap into that. I don't like the, you know, the, oh, Batman has a plan for everything and he wins every time. I'm like, nah, this is a guy that's fucked in the head, right? And he's been through some shit and he puts his fucking kids through some shit too. And I really like how, I didn't expect the comic to go there in the ways it did. And that's probably what I liked the most about the comic when I first read it. Because, like I said, I knew everything that was going to happen. But the depth with how, like, kind of twisted everything is in regards to Batman's psyche and his interpretation of the world. Maybe I'm reaching too. I'm putting way too much stock into it and projecting my own interpretation of Batman onto this comic. But that's what I like the most about the Red Hood story.
Okay, okay. I'm going to tell you this, Yoohoo. I did not have the time to read the book. Luckily, this is an episode about the movie. However, since you did talk about your like views on Batman and everything, Batman is mentally ill. Like, I feel like not enough people talk about that. That man is sick. You know, and I say this as a person who loves Batman. I do. I like Batman. And without acknowledging the way we were trashing Batman and Wonder Woman Hikitaire. Forget that. I like Batman. But he's mentally ill, and I like seeing him having to go through these different situations where he's having to address his own emotions. It honestly allows you to see that Batman is still a person under everything. And I think the best Batman stories are the stories where he's human, instead of just being this unstoppable force who can do all this other type of stuff and treads on Bat God territory. And I think seeing the Red Hood movie play out and then bits and pieces I did read of the comic, it was interesting seeing and just thinking from his perspective, like, how would you feel your child that you kind of got killed comes back? It's a lot of emotions that come at play. And I think that's one of the things that this movie kind of did really good. And even just the story in general did. So are you ready to dive into this conversation about the movie?
Absolutely. But I'm gonna be totally honest with you here. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm probably gonna say some things about this movie that's gonna make people upset. I don't know, man. Like, I've seen people say this is one of the best DC animated movies of all time. After watching this movie, I was like, okay, like, that's all right. Like, but we could get into it. We could get into it.
Those are fighting words. Those are fighting words. Fighting words. We'll get into it, though. I'm curious. I'm really curious. Okay, well, without further ado, let's dive in. Batman faces a mysterious vigilante called the Red Hood. He begins cleaning up Gotham City. Without following a moral code, and old wounds are reopened. Pretty brief summary. That's the official summary. I'm surprised at how brief it is. But that's what it is. This movie is also written by Judd Winnick, who is the same guy who wrote the book. For those who don't know, this is, you know, Batman Under the Red Hood. This is the movie. Slash the story where, you know, the Red Hood, Jason Todd, comes back from the dead and he's like fucking shit up, basically. And then Batman has to deal with the sins of, you know, his past and everything like that. It's a pretty straightforward story, I'd say. All right. So what was like your initial thoughts?
Yeah. So here's the thing about the Red Hood movie. On paper, right, it does everything better than the comic book. I think the pacing is better. I think the things they cut from the comic book make more sense for the narrative of the movie. I think the way Jason Todd comes back is way better in the movie. Okay? And I think there's a lot more emotion when it comes to the dynamic of Bruce Wayne and Jason Todd specifically in this film compared to the comic book. Maybe that's because of the voice acting too. But yeah, on paper, it excels at doing the things a good story is supposed to do. And I think I have to give it props for that. But for some reason, it just didn't resonate with me the same way reading the comic did. And I don't, I've been thinking about it. And I think the reason why is because I think that the comic is just better at making you empathize with these characters, because there's so much subtext in like the backdrop of Jason Todd's in terms of Jason Todd's motivations, it's explored a little deeply. In terms of the Black Mask, he has a whole nother kind of B plot where you understand his control of the city more, right? Even when it comes to Batman figuring out that Jason Todd is still alive, the way that plays out, it just feels like it has more impact, because I think that they have more time to explore it in the comic versus the movie, if that makes sense.
Okay. You know, going back to what you were talking about with how the context of this movie, like, they simplified it in some of the good ways and everything. When I was watching it, I think at the halfway mark, because, like, actually, you and I kind of, like, messaged about it when you talked about one of the things you didn't like about the story, which was how Jason came back. But when I was watching the movie, I was, like, sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, imagine the job Judd Winnick had to do to, like, because this movie, it's more consumable for a random person to watch it. And in my headcanon, I'd like to say this is what happens in the comics. I would like to say that. Honestly, I feel like a lot of people kind of already do it. They kind of just, like, retroactively have this as their headcanon and everything. And it makes me wonder what would have happened if they were able to make this a longer movie. Would they have been able to, like, add a little bit more of that subtext you were referring to? Like, what do you think?
So in the comic, right, and I'm flipping through it right now as well. Like, there's a really cool arc where Batman, and I'm really sad they cut this, but I think there's a part where Batman meets up with Superman. Wait, am I thinking about the right comic? Is it in this comic? I think it's in this comic. Yeah, it's where Batman meets up with Superman, and I think he also meets up with Green Arrow. Right. And he talks to them and he just asks them, like, what happens when you die? Like, do you remember what happened? You came back the same person. It's this really cool scene because he's trying to grapple with the fact that Jason Todd is still alive. And he's like, what happens when you die and come back? Because obviously that's not possible, but it happens in the continuity of DC so much. Right. Our heroes don't die. And I really like that they address that in this book, because it's like, it's so goofy. We don't really think about how goofy it is that our favorite heroes can never stay dead. You know, Superman's died how many times now? You know, I'm sure Batman's died. You know, like Jason Todd died, right? But having that moment where it's like, you died and came back, like, what happened? How did that impact you? And him having to talk to these two people because he's the world's greatest detective, but he can't figure out what happened with Jason Todd. And they can't even explain it either. Because it's like the goofy, ever-expanding mythos of DC, where everyone always comes back. But it's still, it's so powerful. Like, it's such a unique way to take one of the most random and bizarre things about comic books and make them super interesting and relate them to a story that's super emotional as well. Like, it's moments like that that they cut out that I think could definitely elevate the story, if that makes sense.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I know that there was another version of this movie that came out recently. Like, I want to say, like, 2020, 2019. And it was released as, like, it was called Batman Death in the Family. And what they did, they added new content. But it was, like, an interactive DVD movie. But then if you got, like, the digital one that's, like, streaming, because it's streaming on TV right now. But, like, if you watch that version, it's a shorter version of the movie, but it has extra shit. I think there's a scene where Batman meets with Superman and asks that question, I think. I could be wrong, though. And then I also know there's, like, some extra added scenes with, like, Jason Todd. And then even some more stuff with Red Hood, I think. But I didn't watch that version, but I don't know.
I have to check that out, because I would love to see that play out in live action. Yeah. But I don't know. Like I said before, like even at the end, the climax is very different because in the comic, Joker is kind of it makes more sense in the movie. I think they did a better job at it with Joker has a more prominent role, of course, because he is the Red Hood. He's the reason Jason's dead. But in the comic, Jason just kind of picks up the Joker at some random spot and kidnaps him, right? Which is fine. Like, I don't mind that. But it makes the climax of the movie this thing where Batman goes to fight someone who's dressed up as the Red Hood that's trying to kill Black Mask. And then Black Mask kills that person only to, and, you know, Batman has this whole moment again where it's like, yo, like, I just let Jason die again, right? Like, but it's not Jason because it's comics, of course. There's some huge Detective Comics twist. And then he goes to confront Jason and Jason's kidnapped the Joker. And I like that. I like the idea that Batman, like, it's a really cool scene where Batman's holding the Red Hood. It's kind of just like, yo, I let him die again. Like, that's awesome. I like that homage, even though it is kind of a cliche. It's subtle subtext like that that I think really elevate the impact of the comic. I think the only thing the movie really has in terms of emotional resonance is the voice acting. But even with the voice acting, and this is going to be kind of a hot take too, I've been replaying Batman Arkham City, so I just got Kevin Conroy in my head. I got Mark Hamill in my head right now. And then I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, yo, this guy thinks he's Kevin Conroy. What's he doing? You know, like, I don't like it. I don't like these Kevin Conroy wannabes.
Whoa.
Like, that's another reason why I struggle to watch animated content about Batman, because if it's not Kevin Conroy but they're trying to sound like Kevin Conroy, it just bugs me, you know?
Listen, those are fighting words. You did tell me that you're gonna say some questionable shit, but you know what, I guess I'll allow it. Okay, so it's funny that you actually got over to the voice acting. I was gonna go character by character, but I kind of want to go ahead and just talk about the voice acting. Okay. Well, we can do both, actually. Thoughts on the voice acting as a whole? Because personally, for me, I really like the voice acting a lot in this movie. I think the best voice actor would have to be Jensen Ackles as Red Hood.
I don't know what clouds your judgment worse, your guilt or your antiquated sense of morality.
I would honestly have to even give it to, I forgot, who voices Black Mask? I forgot. Because, like, something about the fact that Black Mask is just yelling all the fucking time throughout this movie is just funny. And I think the comedy in this movie, when this movie is not a comedy, far from it, actually. But, like, all the comedy fucking hits. And surprisingly enough, John DiMaggio as, is it John or Joe? Okay, John DiMaggio as the Joker. I get it. I get why a lot of people said they like him. I like him. I liked it. I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. However, it was like every now and then I would be like, this is Bender from Futurama. Like, every now and then, like, it would get real sinister. It'd get dark. The laughs was there. I would like to see him do more. I would. But I was like, Bender or Jake from Adventure Time. but he did a really good job, I'd say. So who was your favorites from the voice acting cast?
Yeah, most definitely Jensen Ackles kills it as Red Hood, especially that monologue at the end of the film. That's ripped straight from the comic word for word, where he's like, well, I forget what he says, but he's talking about how could you let the Joker live? How could you, like, you know, if it was him, if it was you that he beat to a bloody pulp. Like, I would do nothing but try to find and kill this man. That's one of the most, like, emotional scenes I've seen in the realm of DC animation, period. That was so well acted, well delivered. Like I said before, because of the way they condensed the story, it was very potent. And I think I looked it up, and Neil Patrick Harris actually voices Dick Grayson Nightwing, which is kind of wild. But I liked him. Everything else is, like, give. You know,
I kept thinking of Spider-Man every time we talked, because he played Spider-Man in the MTV show. Like, and he actually was using his Spider-Man voice for Nightwing, and I was like, Peter?
Kind of makes sense, though, because I feel like Spider-Man and Nightwing have a lot of parallels.
Like, I can see it.
It's a conversation for another time, I guess.
I can see it. Okay, so cool. All right, let's go down the characters in this movie. So what was your thoughts on Batman's characterization?
I think that, let me see. I wrote down some notes. I think that Batman in this movie is good. Like, I like his characterization. I like the scenes he has in the Batcave, specifically with Alfred. Those are really good scenes. And the scenes he has with Dick Grayson too are really good scenes. I like that human side of Batman. And I think they make it really fun in this movie. And I think the end of this movie too is really, really powerful too. That last scene. Those were the moments of characterization I really enjoyed. When it just comes to like standard Batman, you know, like fighting bad guys, you know, just not really saying much. I'm like, okay, this is just, the older, you know, like I said, I'm going to sound like a hater. The older I get, the more I'm like, this is why I don't really watch a lot of cartoons as much anymore. And I kind of just read comics more so, because I'm not a big fan of action in my comics anymore, which sounds so stupid, right? Like, I sound, oh, I'm a snob. I don't like, you know, explosions. But like, I like a comic. I like to read comics that have like depth behind them. And I like to read comics with characters that are really interesting and unique and have really layered mysteries, you know, like something like my favorite comic right now that I recently read was Black Science by Rick Remender. It's like an Image book. And it's one of the most mind bending sci-fi stories. You know, one of my favorite Marvel comics is Bendis's Daredevil, right? Like that's this gritty crime noir thriller that's super, there's no action in it, right? I'm reading JMS's Spider, well, there is action in it, but like it's not like that kind of like world ending, you know, Avengers step up to fight Thanos action. It's like I'm gonna beat one dude to a bloody pulp with my baton to find out this information type of action. It's that visceral in your face, like this could happen in real life type of action. That's the stuff that resonates with me. And there are Batman stories that do that really well too. And that's another reason why I love Robert Pattinson's The Batman. But the characterization of Batman in this, it just felt kind of standard in regards to the action. But then, like I said before, there were those really powerful character moments, like especially the end of the movie. I know I already said that, but that really hit. That was probably the best change from the comic and the TV show, or the movie, in my opinion.
I think this movie did a really good job of like showing the tragedy of it all. Like, especially in the end, when it kind of came down to that interaction with the Joker, Batman, and Jason, and then even when it showed the flashback, actually all of the flashbacks, it just was a tragic type of story, and you just felt for him and everything. I remember when I like first watched it some years ago, I want to say, like, I don't know how long ago, but it was years, I was younger. I almost teared up. I was like, oh shit, this is really sad. Damn, he was a little boy. Oh my god. Which makes it even more kind of fucked up that, dang, Batman, you really were collecting child soldiers to do your type of shit. Okay. All right. Sidebar, actually, this is going to be a tangent. You're reading JMS's Spider-Man right now?
For the first time.
Oh, my God.
There's, like, this issue. I'm on the issue. No spoilers. I just read the... He's talking to Doctor Strange about something right now. It's that. But there's that one issue where he was helping out that girl and his student. And she has like a brother who's like on drugs and kind of like in a bad spot. And a lot of the issue is just Peter Parker talking and helping people out. And I'm like, this is really good Spider-Man comic right here. And it, like, I haven't even seen Spider-Man yet. Like, that's the type of stuff I like.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I love actually. Boom. Got it right here. Well, actually, only got volume one. Got to get volume two. But like that is like one of my favorite Spider-Man stories, like runs ever, I would say, mainly just because of just the, oh god, I can't spoil anything, but I just gotta say the relationship building, the Like, Peter's just fun to read. It feels like, it's just like, you know, Spider-Man, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, basically. Like, it's not world-ending shit. And let me know when you read Amazing Spider-Man 500, because that is, like, the crown jewel of, like, the run. That shit is fucking great. Phenomenal. It's really good. And there's, like, a little Easter egg at the end of it for, like, the last couple of pages.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll probably know. I will say, I do know a little bit about something super bad happens towards the end of JMS's run that people don't like. I know. I think it's, what's it called? Is it a brand new day or one more day
that? The one where, you know, but you know, maybe it's a rumor that I heard where Spider-Man made like a deal with the devil or something.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. It's kind of like a huge retcon, basically.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know people hate that. Since Past is another one that I've heard is pretty controversial from JMS's run.
I think it's very controversial, but like, what's even more interesting is looking into like the story behind it, like the inner workings of Marvel when they were making that story. So there's that, but I'm not going to spoil anything.
I was thinking about this, dude, like, it must have been crazy to be a Spider-Man fan when that was happening, because I was like peak Spider-Mania, right? Like off the Raimi movies, yeah. You got JMS. Like, are you going to the comic store? You have JMS and you have Bendis.
Yeah. Right?
You have the Raimi movies. You're coming off of the 98 TV show. You know, they got the Spider-Man 2 game, which is like the best superhero game of the time.
And then Ultimate Spider-Man, the video game, came out like a year later.
Like, come on. That must have been a crazy time to be liking Spidey.
Listen, it was great. Even though I was only fucking 5 years old, but I remember it. I remember that. I fucking remember that shit. I remember that shit. It was a time. It was a time. It was amazing. Loved it. Fantastic. But Batman Under the Red Hood, let's get back into that. All right. I know you touched on a couple of your favorite moments in the movie. Do you have like any other favorite moments? And also, what was your thoughts on the animation, like the choice of animation in this movie?
Yeah, favorite moments. Well, obviously, like I said, the end, the flashback scenes were all really fun. I liked those. And I think it, like I said, it made the emotional resonance of that finale really impactful. I'm trying to think, I'm trying to recall what I liked. I will say what I don't like about it. One of the things that stood out to me that was a big difference, a scene that kind of sits in my brain, is the whole Ra's al Ghul exposition dump. That took up, I feel like, a lot of the film. Oh, it probably wasn't even that much, but it felt like an eternity to me. I hated that. I was like, yo, this guy is yapping up a storm over here. I get they have to find a way to bring back Jason Todd. Okay? I get it. But like, and it's still less convoluted than the way they bring him back in the comic. But that scene in particular was like a snooze. I was texting you the first time I watched the movie, I fell asleep, and it was during that scene.
No, you know something? I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, I love the choice. I love the choice of them doing it. I did. But I was thinking, wasn't necessary for them to make a big deal about Ra's al Ghul calling off his men? Like, that scene felt like it went a little too long. I was like, I get it. You're supposed to show that he's, you know, Ra's al Ghul is, like, important and everything. But was it necessary for them to have, like, a whole scene, couple scenes with that? And then I also was sitting there thinking, wouldn't it have been more impactful if Talia was the one to come there to tell Bruce this information or something? Yeah. Like, I feel like it would have been more impactful. You could have even gotten a scene where Bruce was a lot more. I mean, he was honest and open with Alfred a little bit more than usual in this movie. But it would have been more impactful, I think. It would have been easier for him to be more open if Talia was there to talk to him and everything, maybe. You know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it felt very, it just felt very shoehorned in and kind of like, okay, we need an explanation, and we can't have Superboy Prime punch the fucking, I don't know, universe collision, whatever. I don't even know what happens in the comic. I don't know how to explain it, but it makes more sense, but it's still kind of boring in my opinion. Like they gotta find a better way to bring him back, you know?
Okay, Supes. People watching, people listening. In the comics, Jason Todd comes back because Superboy Prime pushes the wall so hard, like so hard, that reality, space, time is warped and shit. And then, boom, Jason crawls his way. Doesn't he crawl his way out of the grave or some shit?
I don't even remember, to be honest. Hold on, I'm flipping through the book right now. I'm trying to find it. But yeah, I think I don't even think he gets buried. I think he just doesn't die. I don't know. It's so fucking stupid, dude. I swear to God, it pissed me off. That was the biggest problem I had with the comic. The other problem with that is that it is very reliant on you reading Infinite Crisis. If you don't read Infinite Crisis, you're going to be so confused, dude. Like, you can't just read. Like, you have to be so inundated in the massive lore of DC Comics to truly understand what's happening. Okay, here, look. Here it is. See that? He's punching a wall. Okay. And if you haven't read Infinite Crisis, you don't know why this is happening. Look, there's Jason Todd. He's dead. And then he punches the wall. Okay. And then there's just some magic juice. Oh, yeah. I guess he wakes up in his coffin. Okay. And then, yeah, he just crawls his way out of the dirt. You were right.
So my thing is, though, was he ever dead to begin with? Or was he like I'm confused. Like, and you know something? This is, you know what? I'm going to open it up even further. I think the one thing that never really made sense to me about the whole Red Hood thing, even in the movie and in the comic, how did Jason grow up to be close to the same age as Dick and Barbara when he didn't die close to their age? So how did he just magically grow up?
You know, age in comics isn't something we should be thinking about because a lot of things stop making sense.
You know, Listen, you know, I was talking to my partner about this, and we were talking about like how old Batman is, and I was talking about how I think I could see Batman pulling off being 35 still. I can see it. And the reason why I can see it is that like Batman Year One, it's said that Bruce is 25. So there's a 10-year span of him being Batman. 26, he gets Dick Grayson. I don't know. Age works, but it doesn't work in these type of books, I guess. I don't know.
That's the big issue they had with the New 52 as well, is that they tried to kind of condense everything into like a 5-year time frame, and then people got pissed about that, and they're like, yo, this doesn't make any sense.
I was reading it recently. Like, I was sitting here reading it like within the last couple of months, and I was sitting there thinking about it, because I'm like, wait a second. So I know that they tried changing it to where they changed the age of the Robins to make them closer in age, but he had Damian within five.
Don't make
it
sense.
It makes no type of sense. And it makes no fucking sense. But you know what? That is a tangent. Let's go on and let's round this out. How would you rate this movie on a scale of 5? Keeping in mind, you know, the animation, voice acting, and just the movie and the story as well. And then do you think it's something that will stand the test of time?
So I think this movie will stand the test of time. I think, especially if you don't read the comics, I think this is a really good place to understand who the Red Hood is, to understand the significance of Robin in context to Batman outside of just his sidekick, and also to just get a deeper appreciation of how mentally ill and twisted Batman is. You know, like there's a lot of weirdo things that go on behind the scenes that aren't really addressed, and I don't think this movie necessarily directly makes a stance on it, but it paints a lot more subtext than, you know, watching Batman the Animated Series or Mask of the Phantasm does. So it will stand the test of time. Out of 1 to 5, though, I'm going to have to give this, like, I don't know, like a 2, 2.5. I wouldn't watch it again. It's just not.
Damn. Wait a minute. You were really sitting here. Like, I wouldn't have thought it would have got a 2. Maybe a 3. Damn. Okay. Damn. But you know what? I agree with you, though, with the not with the rate, but I do think it will stand the test of time. I think for me, this movie would get like I would say four. I think, going back to what you're saying with action, this movie was very action heavy, which nothing's wrong with the blockbuster for me personally. I'll admit, as I'm getting older, I kind of don't want to see all action. I want to see more story. But I think the final fight that led into the scene with the three of them and everything, I think that was important. But other parts of the movie, I was just like, this is cool.
Yeah, especially the Amazo fight. And then you had the I don't even know who those robots were that they were fighting. And even the first few confrontations he has with Jason Todd, like him and those were bored. Like, oh, let me, you know, hook his car from the bat, you know, helicopter. Like, come on, dude. I'm boring. I'm sorry. Like,
I will say, I found it funny as hell when Batman, during that fight, when they were with, like, you know, fighting other mercenaries, Batman just started throwing, like, fucking mini jet things on people and, like, causing them to fly away. I'm like, what the fuck? You know something? I feel like if there ever is another Arkham game, they need to add that into that game. Just imagine you're, like, fighting some Joker goons and then, boom. That'd be dope. All right. Well, you heard our rating, Supes. Be sure to let us know your thoughts on Instagram at Super Saturdays Podcast, TikTok at Super Saturdays Pod, and Twitter at Super Saturday PC, where your messages and your reviews can make their way on the show. This is Super Saturdays. I'm Damon.
What's up? I'm Yoohoo.
And once again, Yoohoo, where can they find you?
Yeah, so TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Yoohoo Comic Review.
Dope. All right. Well, as always, Supes, see you next Saturday.